It is Friday, May 27th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
What? I remember those sweepers. I remember this mic. I remember this QuickTime. I'm back! Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a whole lot more than a week, I can tell you that. It's been since Monday before last. Been too long, way too long. I just got really busy, did not have time to do a podcast. It's a time-consuming thing. I mean, even just planning it is time-consuming. Recording the thing, and this is going to be a long episode. I've got so much news built up, so much stuff to talk about that's accumulated in the last week and a half. I meant to do this Monday night, and then I just didn't have time. Meant to do it Tuesday night, didn't have time. Thought, okay, fine, you know, Wednesday will be good. Well, Wednesday night, not so good. Then it was scheduled for Thursday, looking good. And, you know, Thursday was going to be a pretty good night to do it. You know, I had got everything planned out. Just finished my show notes, you know, saved them. Looked at the clock. Way too late to do a podcast. So here I am, Friday night. You're probably getting this later, maybe sometime over the weekend, maybe Monday, Tuesday next week. Hopefully no later than that, or what you're listening to will be outdated. But anyway, I'm back. I'm going to really try to not let something like that happen again, or at least if it has to happen, you know, try to at least get a sort of a mini show out or something. It's just so that I don't have a glaring, you know, week and a half or more gap between episodes. But anyway, enough talking about how I failed you for the past week. Let's go on to those 5 5-second news headlines. Oh, by the way, I'm actually recording in QuickTime again. Last time I was having some difficulties with recording QuickTime because it was making this huge delay on the playback. Well, I think I fixed that. I routed the sound through sound flower bed. distracting music here. Let's turn that down. I routed the sound through sound flower bed. Instead of directly through QuickTime. So now I've got a separate audio coming back to my headphones that's just directly from SoundFlower, which SoundFlower's the it's sort of a little application, not even an application, just an extension to the sound system preferences, where it just takes all the audio that's playing through your computer, brings it into one input. So I've got SoundFlower Bed, which just taps right into that and brings me the feed from that to my headphone. So I can use that instead of QuickTime, and so it doesn't produce the delay that I was getting last time that kept throwing me off. So anyway, let's go ahead with these 5 5-second news headlines. Okay, Nokia has released the Nokia 770, a small handheld Linux-based device designed simply for Wi-Fi web browsing. Intel has established a plan to deliver 1 million dual-core Pentium D processors before the end of 2005. Yahoo has launched its new photo mail service, allowing users to easily send photos from their computers over Yahoo's email network. And Microsoft has deemed Netscape 8 unstable and is suggesting that users uninstall the application, claiming that it disrupts Internet Explorer. Also, MSN recently unveiled MSN China, a version of the MSN web portal tailored specifically to the Chinese language and culture. Those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. All right. Those are the 5 5-second news headlines. And first thing I wanted to talk about is iPodder X 3.0. Finally been released, finally come out of beta. The program I've been hinting about for a couple weeks, maybe a month or two now. It is finally out of beta, which means you can head on over to iPodderX.com and pick up your own copy. I believe it's $20 or so for a copy. There's also a light version on the way. Just released on Thursday. And the big news here, and this is... I'm just going to go through the features here, the stuff that I haven't really been able to talk about up until now. Sworn to secrecy by the beta mailing list. First really interesting thing in iPodder X 3.0 is basically, before this, if you're going to have an iPod or a podcatcher, it would just catch podcasts, you know. But now, with iPodder X 3.0, it also can do regular RSS feeds. So, perfect harmony between your RSS feeds and your podcast feeds right there in the same application. And no, I'm not getting sponsored to say this. I just think it's, you know, great step forward for the community. And August Trometer, Ray Skolinski, really done a great job with this. Another interesting thing is video importing to iTunes in addition to the normal audio importing, which means that feeds such as Rocket Boom and similar vlogs can easily be subscribed to just like a podcast feed, and they show up right there in iTunes. And of course, then you plug in your video pod and download it right there for viewing on the go, if there only was a video pod. Come on, Apple. Smart Space is another interesting feature. It basically, you can set the amount of hard drive space you want to devote to podcasts, and then when new podcasts come in, they just keep cycling through this amount of hard drive space. So you never have to worry about deleting old episodes or anything like that. It just keeps, you know, a certain amount of megabytes or gigabytes of podcasts and cycles the new ones through that space. So nice feature there. Playlist Builder is sort of a section of iPodder X, a way that you can easily manage the podcasts that come in before they even get to iTunes, or without having to deal with iTunes. You can create playlists, arrange the podcasts, do all sorts of stuff right from iPodder X, because it actually attaches an ID right in the comments tag of the MP3 metadata, the ID3 tag. So it has full control over what happens to that file even after it gets into iTunes. So amazing feature there, as well as probably my favorite of some of the new features here, Newscaster. It is your own personal news anchor in on your iPod and in iPodder X. It gets those robotic voices on your computer to go ahead and read any news that comes in on the regular RSS feeds, and converts that to a little, almost a podcast, a robotic podcast. And puts that right in iTunes, so you can listen to your RSS feeds in audio format. So that's basically, those are the new features, the big new features. A lot of nice visual enhancements and some improvements to the general user experience. But overall, wonderful new release. This has been in the works for quite a while. And basically, the only thing that was delaying it for so long was August trying to add new features whenever he got a chance. Because you'll see, I mean, it's just everywhere there's wonderful features, you know, and more being discovered every day as people are excavating the depths of iPodRx. Truly an interesting program, and great work over at Thunderstone Media, the company or organization. I think it might just be August and Ray, the iPodRx developers, but over there at Thunderstone Media that bring us iPodRx. Another interesting thing, and this goes hand-in-hand with the iPodRx announcement, is the iTunes 4.9 announcement. So, this is a new version of iTunes scheduled to be released in, I believe, a month or so. It is supposed to have built-in support for podcatching. So you, presumably, I don't know the details, no one knows the details except maybe Adam Curry, you will be able to create maybe a podcast playlist and attach an RSS feed to that, and then anything from that feed goes right into that playlist when new podcasts show up. So should be interesting. I'm just guessing as to how it's going to work, but obviously, we can expect pretty interesting new functionality there, as well as new functionality in the music store to support podcasts as well. A special section of the music store is supposed to be devoted completely to podcasts. We'll have fields for the top 10, you know, the most downloaded, the most subscribed to, the you know, week's picks, the new podcasts, whatever. As well as all the different categories we've got in the iPodRx directory and everything right there in the iTunes Music Store. Plus, a possible, potential ability for buying the podcast. Obviously, at first they want to introduce it for free, but there is the possibility that it's going to add it will add functionality for the developers of podcasts to be able to go ahead and easily offer their shows through the iTunes Music Store, either at the usual 99 cents or at a reduced rate of 49 cents or something per show, if they want to make money that way. So interesting developments in iTunes. This is what a lot of people have been waiting for, because, of course, there's programs that can interface with iTunes, but a lot of people have been hoping that this functionality would come directly into iTunes. So, looks like it could be coming end of the month, so we'll see. Another thing that came out in the last week or so at E3 is the PlayStation 3 and Nintendo Revolution releases. I talked about the Xbox 360 release on the last show. But since then, the PlayStation 3 and Nintendo Revolution were demoed and introed at E3 as well. So I'm just going to quickly run through the specs here. And so for the PS3, we got 6 USB ports, Bluetooth support with 7 or up to 7 wireless controllers, memory stick SD and CF card slots, 2.5-inch hard drive attachment. Don't believe that's going to be built in. NVIDIA graphics card with 1080p high definition support, which means that that completely outdoes the Xbox 360's resolution. One single 3.2 gigahertz cell processor with 256 megabytes of RAM, performing at 2.18 teraflops. Nice processing power there. Also, the ability to play PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 games as well as support for Blu-ray, DVD plus minus R, or plus minus RW, and CD minus R slash RW. Also, on the Nintendo Revolution front, first of all, the release is not supposed to be till 2006. I believe the same is true for the PS3, which means both of them are going to miss Christmas, but I think Revolution's scheduled to come out a little later than the PS3. The final product is supposed to be smaller than the prototype that Nintendo was showing off at E3, which was pretty small in itself, so should be interesting to see what the final product looks like. Multiple colors are planned, taking a hint from the iPod Mini there, as well as their, I don't have show notes prepared for this or specs on it, but the Game Boy Micro, I believe it is, which is just totally following the iPod Mini model. Should be interesting to see how those sell. Also, backwards compatibility for the Revolution over the last 20 years of Nintendo games. That means all the SNES, NES, Nintendo 64, Game Boy probably, all of it right there in this one console. The ability to play all those games, those forgotten games that were put out in the last 20 years. Pretty amazing backwards compatibility there. 512 megabytes of flash memory is planned, as well as an SD memory card slot. Wireless controllers should be standard, as well as two USB 2.0 ports, and Wi-Fi with the ability to connect to the Nintendo DS, and possibly allowing the DS to enhance certain games, add the touchscreen, of course, as an alternate control method for certain games. Also, a slot-loaded optical drive capable of playing the 12-centimeter Revolution discs, as well as the miniature GameCube discs, part of their backwards compatibility there, and an attachment for playing DVDs and other media. So that's the Nintendo Revolution, as well as the PS3, two interesting consoles that we'll see coming out 2006, probably the PS3 being a little earlier to be released than the Revolution. Got some Podsafe music here. This is from John McCloy off GarageBand.com. This is Make New Friends on the Everything Digital Podcast.
Tonight I really gotta get out of this apartment. Can't say it again. Gonna get up, I'm gonna get dressed, I'm gonna get out there. I've been in town for way too long to be feeling still this lonely. I guess I finally see maybe love, maybe friends, maybe life, we're all just waiting. I'll just bring them to me. Hey, I'm gonna make new friends tonight. Alright, gonna get up, gonna get out, I'm gonna go dance again. Gonna make new friends tonight. And already somebody's asking if they can dance with me. Hey, already made a new friend tonight. Alright, I got up, I got out to try and dance again. I'm gonna make new friends tonight. Alright, alright. If you're smiling when you see someone, they'll look back again. So be happy. With love.
Alright, that is John McCloy, Make New Friends. So, you may have noticed, if you're a frequent listener to the DSC, or Daily Source Code, that in one of Adam's last podcasts, the one where he was in San Diego, funny enough, San Diego where I live, he made a mistake and called what is supposed to be the All Things, or Wall Street Journal All Things Digital Conference, the Wall Street Journal Everything Digital Conference. So no, I'm not hosting a conference in San Diego, but it's interesting that he made a mistake. Here is a clip from his show here.
And then I got a couple of calls, actually, Thursday, saying, hey, you know, there's this conference in San Diego. It's the Wall Street Journal, Everything Digital Conference. And there's a whole bunch of interesting people here.
All right, so that is on the Daily Source Code for the 21st, I believe, the 21st of May. And pretty interesting. I don't know if that was due to Adam's listenership to the Everything Digital podcast, I can only hope, just a common mistake, all things digital, everything digital, all things everything. Pretty similar. But, Freudian slip or not, always fun to hear my name or podcast name mentioned on the Daily Source Code. So, moving on Friday of last week, I saw Star Wars Episode 3, and the pictures are on my Flickr blog, although there's not many of them. I think there's three. I took, like, one during their little movie trivia thing in the beginning, one during the closing credits, and one of my tickets. So, pretty eventful, I know. I think I'm going to see it again this weekend, though, so I'll take some more pictures. But pretty amazing. Of course, the visual effects and audio effects were awesome. I got my THX thing here. Play that. I don't think they played THX at the theater I was at. I guess it's not digitally certified or whatever. THX certified. Nevertheless, the effects were incredible. THX Lucas film there. Visual and audio effects were incredible. The plot was pretty good. The dialogue sucked. Pretty much there's the summary of it. The especially during like lightsaber fights, when the two fighters would be talking to each other, it was really flat. It was things like, you know, you are strong. I mean, not exactly that, but it's that sort of thing. It's like, or Yoda, strong you are. It was not the normal, I don't know how we qualify normal, because some of the past Star Wars movies haven't exactly been great on the dialogue either, but definitely a little lacking there. Although the overall plot and was quite good, and the continuation of the series, the bridging the gap between the new Star Wars and the old Star Wars was pretty cool. And I'd like it if they made 7, 8, 9, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. See the comments section of my post about it on everythingdigital.org for plenty of information on why George Lucas is not going to be doing that. Another interesting thing I've found in the past couple of days, this was up on the Make Magazine site, magazine.com. It is Wiki Trivia. It uses the Wikipedia entries on wikipedia.org to, accessing the site here, to form trivia questions. So, obviously got a lot going behind the scenes there to make that happen, but it's pretty cool. Oh, and it looks like they've added some new categories in the last couple hours. So they've got tons of categories, everything from comics to movies to food to video games to computers. So I guess we'll go to computers here. And what it does is you pick a category. It used to be harder. It used to be it just gave you a random entry and didn't really tell you anything. Gave you the first letter of what the entry's title is and gave you an excerpt from the entry with the name of the entry blocked out anywhere it appeared in the excerpt. So not very helpful there. But now we've got categories. It shows the number of letters that the name of the entry is. Really, it makes playing a whole lot easier, although it's still not easy. I mean, it's getting these straight from Wikipedia entries definitely means a whole lot of confusing trivia questions. So, let's see here. Why don't we get up a question here and see if we can answer it on the air. Accessing the category. Okay. Blank blanks are about computers and related subjects such as networking and the internet. They are popular in advanced countries. Most blank blanks offer advice, some coding instruction, reviews of the latest technologies, and advertisements. Goody. Computer magazines used to contain type-in programs, but these had... dot, dot, dot. So, as you can see, kind of confusing. But if we look at the letters here, it mentioned something about computer magazines, so I think it's something like that. I think it's, is it computer magazine? That'd be too easy. Let's try it. Computer magazine, guessing. Oh, I'm right. Okay, that was too easy. So some of them obviously are pretty easy when it mentions what the entry is about in the entry. But it does get pretty hard on some of them. So pretty interesting. Wiki trivia. It's at blog.outer-court.com/wikitrivia if you want to check it out. There's of course a link to it in the show notes. And what I found, and what Philip Tyrone found originally, and then I tried later over at magazine.com, is that it's just the perfect trivia game to play right on your mobile phone. If you're in the WAP browser even, or if you've got a full-on web browser on your phone, really easy to access because it's a pretty simple site. And you don't have to do any conversion or anything. If there's kind of complex sites, you can use Google to format them to fit your phone screen. But here you don't even have to do it. It's a simple site, works pretty much the same on the phone as it would on a web browser. So great game to play while you're standing in line, things like that. So, getting back to the show notes here. Speaking of MakeZine.com and Make Magazine, I recently got issue 2 of Make Magazine, their second issue ever published. So I haven't really had a chance to flip through it because, of course, as I said, I've been incredibly busy. But there is a really interesting article here. Where is that? It's one of the feature articles, and it's about podcasting. It's about how to make a podcast, how to get podcasts. There it is. Let's see here. Podcast production step-by-step. Got all these tips on how to record it, how to use Skype, how to use Audacity, how to do it on Windows and Mac, and I believe Linux as well. Edit the podcast, compress the file, tag and package the file. What else have we got here? Tips on good interviews. Publish and syndicate your podcast, talking about how to do the RSS feed itself, which is difficult for a lot of people. And if you, it's got the whole format here, but once you get into the format and once you create one entry, it's pretty easy to just copy and paste that entry and change the information for another one. But originally when I started the podcast, I had no clue how to make an RSS feed, and I just took the Engadget feed, I think it was, and modified that for my podcast. So, finding your voice and others, building an audience, finding other podcasts, listening to other podcasts. There's a picture of Don and Drew there, a picture of iPod or the Lemon as well. And then that's it. Then it goes into building Mousy the Junk Bot. It's a little robot you can make out of spare parts from an optical mouse. So, pretty interesting there. But anyway, some useful tips in the podcast section. It says, total time to create the podcast, just an afternoon, and complexity is, of course, low. Pretty easy, really, to get into podcasting. It was fairly easy for me. But I know it's a daunting task for a lot of people, so hopefully articles like this are going to make it possible for a whole lot more people to get into podcasting and let the community grow a little bit. I believe we're up to several thousand podcasts in the iPod.org directory. I mean, I remember when it was back in the good old days when it was like 300 or 400, maybe. Maybe even less. Maybe like 200-something. That was back when I was like number 27 or something. Well, now I'm 243, so you can't complain. There's like 8,000 out there or something. So anyway, got some outro music here. This is from Joe Kustek. This is Corrupted DLL. Oh, and speaking of GarageBand.com, where I get all my music for the podcast, of course, they have started a podcast production studio, or I'm not sure exactly what they're calling it, but basically it lets you choose music and upload an audio file, and then you can mix the music into the audio file and create your own podcast right there with GarageBand.com music. So another way to easily create your podcast if you're looking for something like that. You can post comments at everythingdigital.org on any of the entries, but probably when you go there, this show's entry will be at the top. You can subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast if you aren't already at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml using iPod or Lemon, iPod or X, or any similar iPod or client. Not going to request podcast alley votes anymore because really, not really doing anything. I figure, you know, you like the show, you'll vote. You know, vote if you have time, but I'm not going to request it each show because I'm sure it gets bothersome, you know, me trying to request votes and another couple seconds of your life that were spent listening to me requesting podcast alley votes. It's horrible to imagine, but it won't happen anymore. You can email me, alan@everythingdigital.org. You can Skype me. My ID is Everything Digital. You can AOL Instant Messenger. I am me. My screen name is Podcaster. Or you can call 206-9-THE-EDP. That's 206-984-3337. And leave an audio comment. All right, thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.